I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. This was not a good assignment for an ambitious centurion. Soldiering in Judea was nothing but intimidating the locals, policing the streets, and dealing with sporadic, pathetic uprisings, usually led by religious zealots. No glory to be won here, no decisive battles to be noticed in. The kind of place that military careers went to die. And the locals were such a strange, unruly bunch, fractious little groups of people, each claiming true, pure devotion to their strange, invisible, solitary Jewish God. It wasn't a good assignment. But time changed the centurion. Where most of his cohort thought of the local Jews with utter contempt, he found himself drawn to them and to their God. He listened to their elders, read their sacred writings, and it all began to make a deep and disturbing kind of sense. One God, one true source and foundation of all things. Not frivolous or capricious like the gods he knew in his childhood. No, a noble, powerful, just, yet merciful God who walked with his people and demanded from them the highest moral standards and the highest devotion. The centurion marveled at all this. He marveled at how faith in this God helped Jews endure endless heartbreak, disappointment, and suffering. And as he listened and thought, he learned new things about himself as well. He was not just a pawn of the emperor, one meaningless little piece in an endless game of military power. He was more. He was not just a toy for the amusement of immoral deities like Jupiter and Neptune. These Jews told him he was more. These Jews told him that he, even he, was made in the image of this one true God, that he had a destiny and a purpose and dignity, that he, even he, was valued and esteemed by this God, because everybody was. So the centurion's career was going nowhere, but these people and their faith and their God were all changing him. And so, strangely enough, at least to his friends and colleagues, he used some of his hard Roman currency to build a meeting place for the Jews, a synagogue, they called it. And even stranger, when one of the centurion's slaves fell sick and was near death, the centurion actually cared. Before, he wouldn't have thought twice about a dying slave. He just got a new slave. But the centurion had come to value this man. The centurion looked at him differently, just as he looked at himself differently. He thought of this slave not just as useful, but as what the Greeks called entimos, esteemed and respected and valued for who he was and honored. So when the centurion heard that there was a Jewish leader in town, he asked some Jewish friends to ask this man to come and help his esteemed slave. It's funny, when you grow in faith, often it pushes you across all kinds of boundaries. The Jewish friends come to Jesus and they say, "You should do this for this man. He's a good guy. He's a real mensch, especially for a Gentile. And he even built this nice synagogue for us." But while his friends are praising him, the centurion himself is having second thoughts. He's remembering something they seem to have forgotten. The one true God doesn't strike bargains with the people he has created. The one true God doesn't owe the centurion anything, no matter how many synagogues he might build. And Jesus, the envoy and representative of the one true God, Jesus is certainly not at the centurion's beck and call. So he sends a message. "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. Just say the word." This unexpected journey to Judea has taken the centurion deep into the heart of the Jewish faith. Gentile though he is, he's come to the heart of the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The one true God is sovereign over all things. The one true God doesn't owe us anything. The one true God gives us everything. But all that he gives is pure, unmerited gift. Not reward. Gift. This Gentile centurion could have taught his Jewish friends a thing or two about their own faith. And he can teach us too, if we'll let him. This morning, this unexpected man, this Gentile centurion, comes to us and he gives us one of the most important pieces of spiritual advice of all time. The centurion comes to us across all these centuries to remind us, don't get too impressed with your own resume. Don't fall into the trap. And for us hard-driving, achievement-oriented, productivity-obsessed, goal-directed 21st century North Americans, it's an devilishly easy trap to fall into. The centurion reminds us, don't fall into the trap of believing your own press. Don't fall into the trap of believing that your true worth is all summed up in your list of accomplishments and achievements. Sure, God loves to see us use the gifts that he's given us. But the thing that really delights him, the thing that really delights Jesus about the centurion, about you, about me, is not the number of synagogues we've built or the successful projects we've been in charge of, or the impressive jobs we've completed successfully. What God delights to see in each of us, what God longs to see in you and in me, isn't like that at all. And we have trouble accepting that. I think maybe because over the course of our lifetime, we've been through so many job interviews where the whole process is about pitching ourselves and what we do. God wants to see something different. What God loves to see in us is just this: a heart full of trusting love. not accomplishments, not buildings built with plaques with our names on, screwed onto them. A heart of love. A heart of trust. A heart that recognizes its own need for God's gift of grace. A heart that doesn't grasp the goodness of God as some kind of entitlement or reward, but knows it's a gift that it could never earn. A heart that gives up its cherished ambition of being in charge of everything and recognizes who is really in charge. A heart that can say to God, just say the word, and then listen. What God longs to see in each one of us is a heart that's like the heart that was in this unexpected Gentile centurion. A heart that can say, just say the word. You know, we never get to know that centurion's name, and that's really too bad because I really like this guy. And I really, really want to learn from him. I want to do what he did. I want to let faith lead me wherever it will. And I want to learn to say again and again and again, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and I and all your servants will be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.